All right, Barker, get it out of the way.
Get what out of the way?
You know.
Well, I mean, one side of the people that were yelling and screaming at me today on our show has already stood up like a man and apologized. So
that would
now
be Chris LaRue.
Today was great, and I have to apologize to Kevin Barker because we had a conversation earlier today about whether or not it matters who's behind the plate, because I said it's disappointing that Brian Servin wouldn't be back there, and he said it doesn't matter who's behind the plate, just throw to the target. And I was like, it matters, and he said we'll see, and we saw, and I guess it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm sure he's gonna be quite happy about that apology coming up in just a minute.
It's up to the other half now to say, Kevin, you are never wrong. I'm so lucky to have you on our show every single day.
2-0, the Texas Rangers have beaten the Blue Jays in the second of a three-game series. It is Blue Jays talk. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Bowden Francis clearly rattled by not having Brian Servin behind the plate. Couldn't even throw a no-hitter. Kevin, obviously, Alejandro Kirk behind the plate instead of Brian Servin, clearly weighing on Bowden Francis throughout the game. He just wasn't as good as we've seen. I'm just kidding. Bowden Francis was good today. 6 innings, 5 hits. 6 strikeouts. His velocity was down. Didn't throw as many splitters. But, Kevin, I think maybe nights like tonight remind us that the most important thing with this guy is still fastball command, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, again, I think it's because the last 7 starts, right? He's thrown the 48 innings, and he had 2 of those starts where he threw 111 pitches or more. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell the arm speed just wasn't consistently there. That's why I think him and Kirky, the first 3 innings, were just trying to find something, right? It wasn't the little elevated fastball at the top of the zone that he could go to, because he just didn't have the little extra gear tonight. So they're trying to work through that. They were trying to figure out whether he had his slider, whether he had enough arm speed on his split finger. You know, and in about the 4th inning, I think that's when he started to find a little bit more arm speed. You know, he could backdoor the curveball. He could throw a few more split fingers to lefty, which will make him a little bit better. You know, the slider, I just don't think he felt right with it. They didn't sort of want to throw it. I mean, he threw it just enough to, I think, get him off the fastball. You tunnel a couple of pitches, you just sort of make up for what you don't have. And I think this just goes to show you, right, that he's found something mechanically. I think if he can stay in his lanes, if he can keep it out of the middle of the zone for the most part, if he can pitch ahead, like the first 3 innings, he had 56 pitches. He only threw 35 strikes. After that, he was really good, 17 to 25, throwing strike 1. Like, if he'll give you this pitching out of the 4 spot, Jeff, like, I mean – this is sort of what the doctor ordered, right? I mean, we were joking around about the catcher. I just think he realizes now that he don't have to overthrow everything to get big league hitters out. If he can locate, pitch ahead, backdoor some stuff, get them in swing mode, and then get them starting to chase the split finger, and, you know, could do some few things, different quadrants with the slider, he can get some swing and miss. So, yeah, I mean, just – I can't wait to hear him talk after the game. That's basically what I live for now. Something special.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. That is a sad reflection in your life, my friend. 590-590. 590-590 is the text line. It is Blue Jays talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Mr. Barker's Blue Jays succumbing 2-0 to the Texas Rangers. Yes, Kevin, the Texas Rangers tonight. Really the 5th inning, I guess, the tail of the game offensively for the Blue Jays. You know, they've been – some of their offensive numbers, some of their underlying offensive numbers have been a little bit better in the last 6 weeks. You know, we talked about runners in scoring position, 2 strikes, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think tonight is a reminder that once you get down to that bottom of the order, there's still a lot of work to do, isn't there?
Yeah, I get it. Look, I mean, I'm not going to come on here and lambaste the lineup. Just they've had the same situation with the versus the left-handed pitchers all year. I mean, Cody basically worked through that entire lineup for seven innings with two pitches. I mean, he'd sprinkle in the slider occasionally and the sinker, but mainly it's two pitches. It's a riding fastball, and it was telling the changeup, good arm speed, and the difference in the velocity with a little bit of sink from the changeup. Just taking what the pitcher gives you, right? If he throws it away, I'm going to hit it the other way. If he pitches me in, I'm going to speed up. I'm going to be balanced enough. I'm not going to overswing. I'm going to hit it where it's pitched. And just consistently, and I hate to say it this way, Jeff, they just don't have enough talent to do it 1-9. That's basically what this comes down to. And you get a dude on the mound who can add some track, hit his spots. You know, consistently, this is sort of what it looks like. Now, should Kirk have scored on the Clement fly ball to right? I mean, if he wasn't turtle slow, absolutely. Like, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the dude hit it, like, almost to the warning track. Like, so that would have gave him a run. But those money at-bats, like, we saw it in the fifth inning you mentioned. We saw it in the I think it was the sixth inning from Vladdy, who was late basically all night on the fastball. I really don't know what his approach was. Was it inside out? Was it get the head? I was always taught you face the dude, don't throw real hard. Try and pull him, because you try and finesse it over there, you're going to jam yourself. That never works, but who am I? I'm not Vladdy. And in the seventh inning, the ground out from Jimenez with a couple of runners on. So it's those money at bats. I mean, that's consistently, I think, what you're talking about. And for me, it doesn't change. They need two thumpers. They need sort of just making their lineup longer where you can hide the woes. And they just can't do that. Again, it's a tough look when Kirky's hitting cleanup. I mean, really? I don't know.
Well,
you think Cody, when he looked at the lineups, going, Kirk? I mean, no offense, but.
Well, here's hoping. I mean, you know, here's hoping you don't see that next year. I mean, it is, what, September 18th? They are, you know, what is it, 19 games out, whatever. I mean,
They've had 13 different cleanup hitters, Jeff.
Yeah, but I'm not going to read a great deal into the lineup. I cannot put it any other way. The lineup for the next 10 days doesn't matter to me. I mean, it really doesn't. It just doesn't. Bo Bichette, by the way, was scratched tonight with a contusion on his middle finger.
Oh, yes. I did find out the reason why he's not using the leg kick anymore. He has eliminated it. He is not using it anymore. You will not see it. He's trying to consistently have timing when he doesn't feel right. He thinks he feels able to sort of be a little bit better than having to try and figure out what to do with the leg kicks hard, like I kicking it to your ear thing.
So it's got nothing to do with him being uncomfortable with the calf or anything like that.
I think that sort of sometimes whenever you're having calf issues and it's your right leg and you have to do something with your left leg to try and sort of add torque and, you know, add separation, I think you have to make changes. This is Bo, I think, making changes with what he has to do to stay on the field and be productive, and good for him. Like, that's what you have to do as a big leaguer. You got to make changes when you have to make them, and I think that's what he's doing.
I'm willing to bet when he shows up in spring training next year, he'll be leg kicking again.
Maybe.
John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager, said that Bichette took a ground ball off the middle finger. Ooh, in warm-ups, he went for an x-ray during the game, and they're waiting results of that x-ray. They should know later tonight, so.
Stay hot.
2024, man. 2024. I mean, at this point, put him in bubble wrap until he's either traded to the Dodgers or shows up at spring training.
I wasn't paying attention, Jeff. Do you remember what hand it was? I wasn't paying enough attention, and I don't think I heard Hazel report that.
I mean,
wait, it would have been
if it was a ground ball, it's got to be
it would have been his right hand.
It would have been his right hand.
Yeah. So that's never good. It's your throwing hand. That's your top hand. Like,
it is the right hand.
It is basically you need to wrap him in bubble wrap and
for now you
go back to Florida. Yeah.
Sam and Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. First of all, you guys know I listen to your show all the time. And, Kevin, you keep saying we need two thumpers. Well, do you think, and here's a hot take, and I know you guys might not like this hot take, you might need a fire repellent on when I do this, but would you not trade Bowden Francis for that big thumper?
I don't think he'd catch you.
No, I'd pay for it.
No, but I mean, like, there's a thumper I was looking at, and I really, really would want him on the Blue Jays, and that's Luis Robert Jr.
He doesn't play every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I have better options. I mean, is he going to hit cleanup? Is he protecting Vladdy?
I think he does. If you look at his numbers, I mean, get him away from that terrible team. I think, to me, he can thrive, especially in the Rogers Center.
I mean, the thing I'll say about this is at this point, you know, unless there is some sort of issue with payroll that, you know, we don't have any, there's no indication that that's the case. Certainly Mark didn't indicate that was the case a little earlier when he did his media availability. I'm with Kevin. I don't want to take away from my one strength, which is my starting rotation right now.
Jeff, the reason why I'm saying this is there are two guys in the free agency who I wouldn't mind the Blue Jays going after and pitching-wise, and that's Jack Flaherty and Walker Buehler.
Yeah, but this is my point. Well, I mean, Walker Buehler hasn't been able to stay healthy, but my point is, why would you want to spend you want to add a couple of bats here, and the easiest way to do that is by free agency. Let's be clear. There's no indication that Bowden Francis isn't going to get you Walker Buehler. I mean, he's just not. If you're talking about signing a free agent pitcher, pardon me. If you're talking about signing a free agent pitcher, I just think, that's complicating things. Your rotation is fine. Get somebody that can close a game for you, or get somebody at least that doesn't melt down in the bullpen, and then go out and get a couple of hitters. Jack Flaherty, Walker Buehler. I'm kind of okay with what I have in terms of starting rotation right now. I really am.
Spend money on a Tanner Scott then for the bullpen.
Well,
because that's the thing, though. If I understand this franchise is so scared to spend money on relievers ever since the BJ Ryan era. But, I mean, eventually we have to. And, I think Tanner Scott would be okay. I mean, this franchise hasn't really done anything about paying relievers. I understand this.
No, they haven't. No, that's a great point. As a matter of fact, I've got some. Hang on. As a matter of fact, I just happen to have some numbers here because a certain Ben Nicholson Smith did an article on this on sportsnet.ca, and I just happened to write the numbers down, and I'm just going to happen to pass it on to you to reinforce what you have said. The largest free agent contract guaranteed to a reliever was the $11 million Jimmy Garcia received. They exercised a 2-year $21 million option in Green. And Kirby Yates was given $5.5 million. Shun Yamaguchi, God, who could forget him? $6.5 million. At no point has the Jays front office guaranteed a reliever more than 2 years. So that, Sam, that is to your point. That philosophically is something they don't do. I don't imagine that's going to change this year. But I'm with Kevin on this. My priority is to get hitters in here. That's my priority, and I just don't want to overcomplicate things, Sam. I really don't. And, Walker Buehler, man, I need more certainty than that. I really do. The last thing I want to do is bring someone else's problem in here. Kevin, I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, look, I think Sam makes a great point, though. You can get creative. If they don't want to start spending large amounts of money. I mean, they do have enough, I think, to go out and try and get certain guys. Like a Rooker, I don't know why the A's would give up Rooker. I mean, they hit homers. They're a little bit more fun to watch. Playing in a Triple-A park, I mean, you need to be fun. They're hitting a bunch of homers. I have no idea why Oakland would want to give him up, but who knows? It's Oakland. And the Luis Roberts thing, Sam is at least thinking about how you would try and get more talent in here, which is that's the goal, Jeff. Every person that we have on that matters with other teams all start with the same thing. The reason why we're better this year is because we have more talent.
Yeah.
That's what the Blue Jays don't have. And they just maybe need to think a little bit more like Sam. Think talent first and get them in here and then worry about where they play after that.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays have been shut out by the Texas Rangers 2-0. We will take a break, come back on the other side, hear from the manager, John Schneider, and go back to the phone lines. Your texts as well, 590-590. If you want to reach us via text, it's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. All right, 2-0. The Blue Jays have lost to the Texas Rangers. Reminder that tomorrow afternoon. The Jays will wrap up the series against the Rangers in Arlington, and we will be along following the game, radio only, with Blue Jays Talk right up until 6 o'clock on the Sportsnet Radio Network. John Schneider is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. He was asked about his starting pitcher tonight, Bowden Francis, and why Francis did not throw his split-fingered fastball as much as he has in the past.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job again, you know. Kind of rocky the first couple with some traffic and then kind of got into a groove, but he was really good with his breaking ball. Curveball especially. Curveball was on tonight. Thought he located it well, probably better than his slider, which has been really good the last handful of starts. And fastball plays when he's locating that in the split. So another really good job. I like the way he responded even after the home run with his pitch count kind of getting up there and getting through the sixth. But, I mean, can't really say much more. You know, it's kind of one pitch. Really good hitter. Takes a good swing on a sinker in. And just another great performance.
Relatively speaking, he didn't throw as many slivers this time. Yeah. Was that a feel thing or was that a game?
I think it was more feel thing. You know, it's kind of a feel pitch. But I think that kind of the breaking ball was kind of, you know, showing him and Kirky the results that it was getting. So, yeah, I think he, you know, he has the ability to kind of navigate that. If it's, you know, if it's not one thing, it can be another, which is another sign of a good starter.
That is John Schneider, Kevin, talking about Bowden Francis, explaining, as you had suggested a little earlier on the show, that just perhaps the lack of usage of the splitter just simply came down to the fact that he didn't have the feel for it tonight. Had nothing to do necessarily with, you know, with Alejandro Kirk being behind the plate instead of Brian Servin. Just simply a feel pitch. He didn't have the feel for it, and the breaking pitch was a little better for them tonight.
Yeah, again, I think, you need good arm speed for that pitch, right? You need to sort of get it going and have it out front where it's going to, you know, last longer and then break into the zone and stay into the zone, right? It's not one of those that goes down and out like a Gausman split finger. He likes it to carry the zone and stay in the zone, and you got to have good arm speed with that. It just looked to me like he didn't have enough of it. And when you don't, you notice that after the first three innings and you pitch out of trouble, you know, that's when you sort of make an adjustment. You start flipping that curveball a little bit more. You're changing speeds with that thing. It has a little bit bigger break to it. The change of speeds, I think, got some dudes out front. And that sort of started, you know, you sort of play the back and forth game. You speed them up, you slow them down. I mean, let's face it, if the two-seamer would have had an extra gear to it instead of 87, it's 89, 90, he jams, Garcia jams himself. That's a ground ball to third. So, that's the difference, right? It's just you need the extra gear, especially when you're a 91, 92 guy, and that's more 87, 88. You know, you almost have to be a little bit more fine, and your misses have to be, like, on point. If they're not, you pay for them. So, yeah, I mean, this is – how can you argue what he's done?
Bowden Francis was asked why he didn't use his splitter more.
Didn't throw as many splitters this outing. Was that because you didn't have a good feel for it? Was that part of the game plan going into this one?
Kind of. I feel like it wasn't as sharp, but Kirky hasn't caught me in a little bit, so maybe he's kind of used to how I was throwing like before. But you know, I liked what we were doing. You know, my curveball usage has been down, so maybe like a game like this can kind of bring it up and kind of throw them off balance because they're not really prepared for that many, maybe. So I feel like we just kind of mixed it up.
There you go. We talked about Brian Servin and Alejandro Kirk. Bowden Francis essentially saying that what I just said may not have been true, that Alejandro Kirk may have had something to do with it because he just he hadn't caught him since he's been on the role that he's been on. But, I think, Kevin, the last couple of starts, it hasn't necessarily been smooth sailing for him. And are we learning something about this guy, given the fact that tonight he pitched with his velocity down noticeably, given the fact that he didn't have the splitter, given the fact that, he went with the curveball instead? Are we maybe learning something about this guy as looking at these last couple of starts?
Yeah, I think he can adapt and overcome, right? I mean, he turns around, sees the scoreboard, what the velocity is, and, you know, how a little bit more fine he needs to be. And if he's going to throw the fastball and attack the zone, he's going to have to set it up a little bit better than he did, right? He can't attack as much. You know, he probably can't throw a fastball on a fastball count to a fastball hitter. He's got to set that up in a certain way. I think Kirky, the first three innings, they did throw the split finger a little, and it wasn't real good. And, you know, a guy that's been around a little while like Kirky and understands, right, that you're facing righties and lefties, he's going to mainly throw that to lefties. It better be good. If yep. it ain't, you got to sort of be careful when you use it, and I think that's sort of why, you know, that's the difference in the two catchers is you forced the pressure on the split finger, and then you may give up some runs because of it. Instead of that, you sort of, I don't want to say eliminate it, but you don't use it. You don't, you know, abuse it the way you normally would. And I think you kind of like it. I think that shows you that he's able to do that. If you don't like it, you move on. You use the breaking ball. You know, he didn't have his slider either.
Right.
Again, it just didn't seem to me like because of what he's done in past starts, that just the load of that mentally and physically, the way he's had to use his heart rate is just off the charts. And sometimes the arm speed's not there. So, yeah, absolutely. Like, this is – everybody's not going to run out there at the best stuff all the time. You got to work through it. You got to battle through it. And he made a pitch when he had to. Just so happens when that pitch, that two-seamer came out, it just didn't come out hot enough. And, you know, a power hitter made him pay for it.
Kevin, you know as well as anybody, too, from playing the game – there are some guys who are stubborn, and this is why I mentioned earlier. I think it says a lot about him that he would not be afraid or be willing to do that, to maybe go away with what worked, you know, not be stubborn. And that's, you know, to me, that's a sign of a guy who next year, you know, if he stays healthy next year, I feel more comfortable. It's weird. I feel it's almost as if with every start, I feel more comfortable with the notion of Bowden Francis in the rotation next year, even if it's not like he's not going out and blowing guys up and blowing guys away and pitching a no-hitter. I just see something almost every start where I go, yeah, I think you can work with that.
Yeah, you'll give him a chance. I mean, that's all you can ask right about him, of the rotation guys, to give a lineup a chance to have the big inning. And you would think consistently he can do that. Now, we'll see if he can make 25 starts. That's the one thing, right? Can his arm and his body handle it? We just don't know that for sure, so that'll be intriguing to see.
Bowden Francis was asked tonight about getting by without throwing as hard as a lot of pitchers do.
Not get dumbed up about it. Like, it is what it is, and just being positive and knowing that the defense is – they're out there and they're grinding, and I really do trust them, and I trust my stuff no matter what, how hard it is. Like, I think the way I mix it up, and I guess I don't know if I hide the ball well or deceptive, but I just feel like I try to pitch my game. Could be like the spin rate or the vertical break, or it's just how I use it. Like, having a slower curveball, 70, whatever it is, 71, makes the heater look a little harder. And if I can get ahead with the guys, I feel like I can kind of use everything and keep them off balance. And it's all about location, like kind of like the old days. I'm kind of an old soul, and if this is where I'm going to be, like, I'll learn how to pitch with it. But it's going to be a goal coming in next offseason to throw harder, but it's not something I'm going to stress over.
Yeah, I don't like
well,
it.
No, I was about to say, I saw, as soon as you said that, I saw you look at me and your eyebrows went up.
Why would you do that? Tell me, explain to me. Why? I don't understand. It's worked, Jeff. Like, the last seven starts have been off the charts good. A couple of Baltimores, a Philly in there. Like, it ain't like he's doing this against the AAA teams. I mean, he's doing it against big leagues teams, changing speeds, not overthinking it, and now somebody's going to tell him that he needs to throw harder. Man, you talk about overthinking. Obviously, he's coming up with that on his own. Somebody's saying that to him. Why? Explain that to me. Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I think maybe, you know, maybe we can, maybe it's a little bit of an overreaction right now. But you know what? Who does that sound like? Who does that sound like? Who was the starting pitcher they had in here a couple of years ago who wanted to throw harder? Remember Ryan Borucki?
Yeah.
Ryan Borucki came in spring training had been told to throw harder.
Yep.
And now he ended up resurrecting his career and ended up with Seattle. But you remember how that went? Now, I understand different pitchers. I get that completely. But I'm kind of with you, man. Just take what you've done this year.
Yeah,
and just try to stay healthy next year and try to make 25 starts.
How do you know what the end is? It's 94, it's 95, it's 96, it's 97, it's 98. Like, how do you know what's hard enough?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, you know what? We will be joined tomorrow on Friday by the skipper, John Schneider.
We're going to ask him.
We're going to ask him that, see where that came from. You know, that's entirely possible. That may be one of those things late at night after a start. What are your goals for next year? But it'll be interesting to see who came up with that idea and how they go about doing it. But I'm with you. That kind of immediately raises some red flags for me.
Always trying to overthink.
As far as he is concerned. Well, always trying to get better, I think, is the way to look at it. I think that's probably the way to really look at it. 2-0, the Blue Jays have lost to the Texas Rangers. They'll do it again tomorrow afternoon. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Lindsay in Port Perry, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.